you a question today. How many of you have faith? Well, it's good to hear we have people who have faith here today. What we're going to do is we're going to examine your faith today. Paul told the church in Corinth, Paul told the church in Corinth that they were to examine themselves, examine their faith, and to test it. So we're going to look today at our faith individually and see where we are. Because faith is an important part of our lives. In fact, it's a necessary part of our life. And faith causes us to act. It causes us to take action. And if we don't have faith that causes us to take action, as James says, that faith is dead. If you have faith with no works, your faith is dead. And it's also important, though, that sometimes our faith can be tested. We know that Job's faith was tested. I have a good friend who has been a minister for many years. At one point, his mother became, she got cancer. And they exhausted every medicinal thing they could do. They gave her chemo. She had surgery. She had all kinds of things done. And finally, they said, "We've done all we can. Say goodbye to your mother." And so my friend, while his mother was laying in the hospital, he called the elders of his church. And his elders came and they anointed his mother with oil and they prayed over her. And his mother died. His faith was tested because he believed that the prayers of those righteous elders, and doing as James said, could save his mother, but it didn't. And it took him many years to work through that before he was able to reconcile himself to what happened. But I want to look for a few minutes at what kind of faith we have, because there's many great examples in the Bible about that. Dave touched on that last week, the first one, Abraham. Abraham was a man of great faith. God had made him a promise that Abraham and Sarah actually thought was funny, because when God made the promise to him, they kind of laughed. I think he even mentioned in Hebrews where it talks about Abraham. Abraham was able to have a son even though he was as good as dead. That's a funny thing to say, and that's probably why Abraham thought it was funny. But he did have a child, and he raised that child, and God asked him to go and sacrifice that child, take that child's life. And there's no indication that Abraham spent a great deal of time thinking about it or trying to talk God out of it. He made the plans, and he went. We also read of some Israelites by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Any of you kids ever remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were asked to bow down before an idol, to worship that idol. And they said, "No, we won't." And they were threatened with their own lives to throw them into the fiery furnace. I don't know about you, but if I was threatened with being thrown into a fiery furnace, I'd have to give a little bit of thought about whether I would capitulate or I would stay strong. But they didn't. They said, "We won't do it. God can save us. But even if he chooses not to, we will not bow down before your idols. We just won't do it." And we know they were thrown into the fire. But God saved them. We know of Esther. Esther became queen. And we know that her cousin, Uncle Mordecai, put her into going and talking to the king to save his people. She knew that if the king did not accept her, what would happen? She'd be put to death. How many of us could face death in that way and stay strong to the faith that we possess now, today? And then my personal favorite is Peter. Because Peter did something that I don't think has ever been done since, and he walked on water. He got out of the boat when Jesus called him, and he walked on the water. Now, I can't for a second believe that Peter thought he could do it. I really don't think so, because he'd never seen it done. Peter spent his life so far on the water. He'd never seen it done, but he did it because he believed when Jesus called him that he could, and he did. And it's this calling, it's this response that says how our faith is. Abraham was willing to give up the son that God promised him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire. Esther risked her life before the king to do what she thought she should do for her people. Peter walked on the water. These people took action. And it's through this action that we know how strong their faith was. For me, I'm more like the guy in the father in Mark 9, where he challenges Jesus to heal his son. And he asks him, if you can do it, and Jesus' response was, if I can do it, it takes belief. And the man's response was, I believe, help my unbelief. Every day we're faced with decisions that we have to make. Every day we're faced with the question, are we going to pursue the calling that God has given us? It's set before us. Are we going to sit back and do nothing? As I examine my own life, where do I fit within these people? Am I the poor father who's trying to struggle with the challenges that are before him and say, I really want to know, I really want to believe, I really want to take action, but I can't quite get there? Or am I willing to take that step out of the boat and walk on the water? These are questions that we must ask. But how did they get to that point? How did Peter get to the point where he would actually think it was possible to get out of the boat and walk on the water? How did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not fear the heat from that furnace? The heat that was so intense that the guy that threw him in perished. He burned up. How did they not fear that? How can they not fear that? I don't know. So we must test ourselves. We must examine where we are. Because God wants us to be productive in our Christian lives. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that when He tells us, if we seek Him, if we seek His kingdom, if we seek His righteousness, that He will give us what we need. He will give us the jobs that we need. He will give us the peace in our lives that we need. He doesn't always tell us exactly what the answers are going to be, but He leads us. He expects us to trust Him. And sometimes life is such that we don't really know how it's going to turn out. And that's where the faith comes in. So what is the purpose? Are we here just to live? Are we here just take up space? Are we here just to take up oxygen? Or are we here for a purpose? And if we're here for a purpose, what is the purpose? You know, Eddie talked in his class today about the life that God has given us to live. He talked to us about how Jesus gave us, in his Sermon on the Mount, those steps where we can live a life that is full of peace and full of joy. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of stress, even in the midst of trouble. So how do we trust that? What steps do we take? What steps does Jim Oliver take in his life to get there? Well, it starts with being in the Word. It starts with us seeing what Jesus and God has laid out before us are the steps to live this life that He, in fact, has given us, that He, in fact, created, that He, in fact, designed that we can live here. And so if we're in the Word, that's the starting point. The second thing we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray for the answers that we seek. We need to pray for strength to face the challenges that are before us. We need to pray for the humility that we need in order to live as God's people. We need to accept that sometimes I'm not the smartest guy around. And I don't know all the answers, and I don't have all the solutions. Because I find as I get older, the world seems to get more complex. Things that once seemed simple now are not so simple. But God has a plan for us, and we must seek it out. And we must challenge ourselves to do what He says we should do, to trust Him, to seek His kingdom, to seek His gospel. And one of the things that Jesus has commanded us is that we are to spread the gospel here in Ventura as we come in contact with. I love these stories of great people in the Bible because they inspire me to know that I can be different. These people weren't any more special than I am. They weren't any smarter than I am. They didn't live in a better place than I did. In fact, some of them were slaves. But they trusted God, and they believed that in spite of all the challenges, they would overcome. So I want to tell you another story. And I know this is a true story because I've lived it. I've been through it, and I've experienced it firsthand. You know, many years ago, and I don't remember time too well. Eddie said his short-term memory was bad. My long-term memory is bad. So I don't remember the time frame exactly. But, you know, one time this congregation had elders. And through a series of people moving away and some people passing, the eldership was dissolved. And there came together a group that had been deacons, and a couple of the elders were left, and we began the leadership group of this congregation. One of the things, we decided two things at the beginning of this. The first was that we weren't going to allow it to become the type of meetings that became leadership, some experience in the past, where you just come and you discuss stuff. It's kind of, nothing ever really happens. That's positive. It just you just spend a lot of time talking about it. The second thing was we were truly interested in taking on the spiritual aspect of leadership. You know, God in His wisdom designed spiritual leadership and the rest of the things that go on in a church, the stuff, you know, buildings and helping stuff locally. And that's always easy to do. Because as a man, I like to see the results of what I do. You know, if you can make something, you see it done, it's good. Spiritual things are not always so defined. Sometimes they don't come to a quick conclusion. Sometimes you don't get answers right away. And so those things are a little harder to focus on. But we were committed to seeking the spiritual leadership, guidance, and challenges that this congregation could face. And as we went through this whole time, we noticed that one thing that was happening to our congregation was that we were graying. You know, we didn't have a lot of young kids. We didn't have families with young kids. And many of our classrooms upstairs might have one, two, or sometimes no kids. And so it was a disconcerting thing because, you know, it's old people are nice, and I really respect that because I am one of them now. But, you know, at some point it's a diminishing thing. And so we set about praying to God to give us guidance, to give us direction, to how we could turn this thing around, so how we could become attractive, so we could reach out and speak to those young people, those young families, those 20-something, those 30-something. And thankfully, God answered our prayers at the beginning because we had a strong nucleus of a young adult population. And we're grateful for that. And we decided that we were going to maybe pursue some way to encourage that, to use the energy that they had and could give to us. And so we prayed, and we discussed it amongst ourselves. And it's kind of interesting. I know some of you here experienced our meetings, because our group at the beginning was pretty immature. And sometimes our meetings were quite rancorous, and not in a mean or spiteful way, but it was just personalities. And I know sometimes some of you came to some of those meetings, and we were trying to help things, and sometimes we didn't do things in the most productive, positive way. And we tried to apologize and make amends for that, but it was a learning process for us. And it was a process that we had to go through so that we could learn to trust God and to be more humble in the process that we had. And so in the midst of that, over several years, I know it took several years, but we came to the conclusion that we wanted to hire an associate minister here, that we were at the point where we needed someone that could put their energy and focus into helping us encourage the young adult crowd, the millennials, or whatever they call them nowadays, but it's the under 39 crowd. And so we prayed for that. And over a period of time, we decided that that's what God was encouraging us to do, was to go in that direction. Now, we did, in several ways, we tried to communicate this to the congregation. And sometimes we didn't do such a good job, I'm sure. I know, I think Odessa had the most insightful comment of anybody, because when we thought we communicated, we didn't. She said, well, what do you expect? It's a bunch of men. And they don't talk. So, and we have to say that we are guilty in that respect. But truthfully, we sought to engage the hearts of the congregation in that effort as we went forward. And eventually, we decided that God was encouraging us to proceed in this area. And so we put out a solicitation for applicants. We got 9 applications. We interviewed through Skype, which is kind of an amazing thing, 7 of them. And we thought 2 were worthy of a closer look. And we have brought them here. All along, through this whole process, we continued to pray. We continued to seek God's guidance, to seek answers, because there are questions. We prayed that God would send us a man that could help us, that could engage us, to encourage us, someone that could push us to get outside of our own comfort zone and to engage in a faithful interaction that could lead to the saving of lost souls. The other part of it, though, was something that was asked by many of you many occasions, because anytime we endeavor to do these things, the number one question we got was, how are you going to pay for it? And we all know that's a critical thing, because if you're uprooting a man and a family from someplace, you know, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. So we continued to pray. We continued to trust God that this was what He wanted as we sought out an associate minister. A number of years ago, there was a man. His name was Kevin Wise. He grew up with the father of the Brothers War War, as I call them. I think he was your age?
1 year older.
1 year older. So he was, I think he was a neighbor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin was a neighbor of Greg's. They went to high school together. And once in a while, he would come and he would worship with us. I don't know if many of you remember him or remember meeting him, but a nice young man. Oh, he wasn't a young man, I guess, unless you're a young man.
He came every time the doors were opened.
Did he? Okay, so as a young man, he was here a lot.
And he was baptized.
Well, thank God for that. Praise God for that. Anyways, so he was living his life, and he got involved. He had a friend that had done some things that were unscrupulous, and through this whole process, Kevin ended up taking his life. It's been a couple years. He took his life, and it's a tragedy that someone could feel so alone Someone could feel so separated. Someone could feel where they have no place to go that they'd take their own life. A little over a week ago, we received a check from the Kevin Wise Trust for a little over $380,000. It's easy for me to say a quiet prayer on the way to work. God, help me to have a good day. Or for me to say a prayer for my son. You know, God, help him to find the job he needs. You know, when we go along and it happens, I have a good day at work. My son finds a job. You know, we pray for things. And I find that a lot of times we might be heartfelt in it, but if it gets answered, that's really good. But if it doesn't right away, that's, you know, it's kind of like we're mushy. But I know when Peter stepped out of that boat, and he walked on the water, the first thing I know, he was shocked. He was shocked because when his foot went out, it felt hard ground. And he took a step, and then he took another. And I don't know how many steps he took total, but I know when he first went out, I mean, his mind just had to be crazy because he's going, "Is that you?" "It's me, Peter." "Oh, well, if it's really you, ask me to come out." "Come on out, Peter." Peter had to go, "I either do it or I don't." And he took that step. And the first step was solid ground. The second step was solid ground. And it wasn't until he got out there a little bit that he finally got nervous because the seas were big and he's going, "I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing." And he sunk. But he trusted and he stepped out. When things like this happen, it blows my mind. When we seek God, we seek answers, we trust Him, we believe we're doing His will, and when God answers your prayer, because I didn't see this coming, I believe that God was going to answer somehow, but I had no idea. Now I want to ask you to do something, which you may think is kind of weird, but trust me, nothing strange is going to happen. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to examine your heart. Because I wanted you to see yourself the way God sees you. Because God looks upon our heart. We know that when David was picked as a king, all of Jesse's sons were brought by. And there were some that were tall and handsome and good looking and strong. They were warriors. But God didn't pick any of them. And it got to the point where they ran through them all. Samuel had to ask him, "Do you have another son?" He goes, "Oh, I have one more. He's tending sheep." "Well, call him." And we're told that God looks upon the heart. So let's examine our hearts. Do we trust Him? Do we have the faith to step out on the water? First, we must examine our hearts to see if we truly, truly want to follow God in everything. But the beautiful thing is, if we're not there, God will bring us. Jesus calls us to step on the water. Jesus calls us to trust Him, to come to Him. And He will give us the strength we need. He will give us the patience we need. He will give us the answers we need if we truly seek Him and His will. So I want you to examine your hearts now. And if we, as a body of believers, if we, as a group of His people, if we can encourage you through prayer, if we can encourage you through our actions, with our actions, if you want to become part of that and wish to be baptized and become part of that family, I just ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing the song that has been chosen, Invitation.